in video. So give her a little round of applause. Yay. Yay. Awesome. Good. All right. So we've been in Genesis. You guys know the story of Joseph? Yes, no. Right? You remember his brothers lied and fake killed him, sold him into slavery, right? Went in down to Egypt, whole new language, got sold to the Ishmaelites, which was Sarah and Abraham's decision to have a child, not waiting on God for Isaac. And of those Ishmaelites, they were sold to them. And he was taken down and Potiphar got him. Potiphar was like the chief dude of the Secret Service today. Yeah? He got sold into slavery. Then his wife, she was all hottie-totty, and she wanted to take him and go shake the animals. Yeah, okay, go shake the sheets. You guys know what that means, right? Okay, if you don't, nudge your neighbor, they will. That's how you got here. They wanted to go do that. He's like, no way, dude, I'm a man of God. This ain't happening. Get off me, dude. And she kept going at him, kept going at him, kept going at him. He's running. He's bolting out of there. She grabs his cloak. She screams through the house and big-time lie. And Potiphar has him thrown in jail. He goes into jail. Everything he's touching is doing well. Everything he's touching is doing well. Everything he's touching is doing as well. The reason it's doing well is because he's been giving it all to the Lord. He gave every bit of it to the Lord. He gives him all the honor, all the glory for every single thing that happens in his life. An excellent example of a Jasonian outcome, if you will. Looked a lot like Jesus in what he does. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to go through the attributes of Joseph. What do you think happened to his dad? This is the dad's business. He gave to the son. He sent the son out at 17, said, go check up on the boys because they can't be held on their own regard. 17 years old, a lot more on the ball than his older brothers, of which there were, 10 older? They're supposed to be in Shechem, and they end up being in Dothan, which is up north. And he ended up finding them there, and they saw him from afar off, and inside their heart they were seething with anger. It's a tattletale again. I wish he was dead. You're going to be dead today. It's done. I'm done with this guy. Brotherly love. Love my brother. He's dead. Can you hear the screams? No! Don't throw me in that. No, brothers, no! Right? Don't sell me! For money. They were happy. They took this coat of many colors. You got a coat. Daddy got your coat. We didn't get a coat. Jealous. Hello. Cut a kid goat. Shouldn't have done that anyway. You're supposed to be eating the grain and honey and nuts and whatever you would eat then. But they kill a kid goat. You know, they put the blood all over. You know, they're not going to waste a goat. So let me get this right. You have to be checked up on by a 17-year-old. Sorry, bro. I know we wish you happy birthday, but 17, come on. Not yet. You haven't even learned how to possibly fill out a debit card balance sheet, you know, let alone manage a household. But he was responsible enough to do so, but the others weren't. And he had to send him out after him. And that you would even have that in your thinking. See, the problem was that he was raised with these visions that God had them bowing down to him. Oh, now we're going to bow down to you, punk. And then, oh, dad and mom are going to bow down to you as well, the sun and the moon. And 11 stars, we're all going to bow down to you. But dad took a note of it. See, because he was able to assess the talent that he saw that was within the Lord, not talent on man's view, but the talents that the Lord was giving him in insight, etc. Fast forward. We're talking 15 years later. He's 32. He's the governor. He's like the head dude. He is the signet ring for Pharaoh. There's nobody under him. Not another Egyptian is raised or elevated. A slave once, twice on the trip. Once to the brothers, one on the trip, one to Potiphar, one in prison, and now he's with Pharaoh. Still not at home. Can you hear the dad? Can you hear the sorrow in him? You know, dad's about 115. Where we catch him today, he's about 115 years old. He's about to be 130 when we catch up with him today. 115, his favorite son from Rachel, who he worked 14 years just to get her because of how Laban treated him so poorly. And this was his son from her, his beloved Rachel, his beloved Joseph. Can you feel the pain that's in him from a son dying? Nobody could comfort him. Nobody could get him up to speed. He didn't want to be. Dude, he's done. You know, when you get older, you feel bad. I mean, in a sense, when a loss happens. You know, we've had a lot of loss here. We had 24 deaths out of this church this year, a little over a year. We've also had a little over 51 salvations this year. They don't necessarily go here because we don't care about that. We care about the kingdom of heaven. You know, God has this amazing way that he has with people. So for us, this kind of hit home a little bit more because the loss, you know, it'd be like wherever your church is, take 25% of it out of there. That's what it would look like, just kind of as a figuring. And you know something, that pain of a son, of that beloved son, and he's just, you can't even get good oxygen. The pain's so rough. We had one lady in here had six people out of her family die, three within 10 days. One was her husband. It was just a real tough time, and I can see how that would be a tough time for Jacob, right? So the boys come up, they're out of grain, there's famine in Canaan, and they got to go down to Egypt, get grain, because they heard there's good grain down there, and Egypt has good valleys, good water, good rain, good soil, and they buy, and Joseph sees them. He knows their language, obviously, but he's speaking in Egyptian now, and he sees them, and all sorts of emotions. Can you imagine? Has somebody done you wrong? Don't raise your hand. I'll raise it for you. Yeah, somebody's done you wrong, and then you see them the next time they've done you wrong. How you like that? You like that? When you go up to him and you're like, no, I don't think so. Many a time it's that way. Or you, as Christians, you go up there and it's like, I'm going to work through this, man. We've had hard times, but we're going to work through it. We're going to keep coming back together and let God take care of the forgiveness element. And he sees him. Can you imagine all the emotions from 15 years of being incarcerated? All and everything comes forth as they're coming up, bowing before him, looking for grain. There's a first bow. They bow before him a second time and then a third. So his visions came to fruition. He sends them packing with grain to go take care of their dad. He asks about Benjamin. One of the trips comes back. He sees Benjamin. He's so emotional by it, he has to run off to the side and gather himself so he can come back as the governor and deal with the governing things of life. He missed his brother. See, that's his bloodline. The others are his brothers too. That's his daddy's seed. But this one's his close brother. And he sees him. Finally, he breaks through after a couple of trips back and forth. He breaks through and he tells the brothers what's going on. It's like, go on back. Go tell dad that his son's alive. Can you imagine being one of them 10 brothers? 15 years later, having to come forth with that lie? Can you imagine what that would feel like to sit there and ride that trip back on the carts that were provided to them by Pharaoh so that the women and men would not have to walk, or the women and children, rather? And old Jacob, 130 years old, so he could ride back. That whole trip thing, how are we going to tell dad? What are we going to tell him? We told him this lie. We told him he killed the boy. The boy got killed by the wild tiger or animal of some sort. Now we got to tell him he's alive and it was all us and we lied to him. Whoo! And what does Jacob tell him? I mean, Joseph, don't worry about it, man. Don't fret it. It's okay. What you meant for harm, God meant for good, right? Dude, to have that kind of grace when you've been offended, it only is the work of the Lord. Grace is unmerited favor, giving somebody favor that they didn't do anything to deserve, or merit, rather. Mercy is not getting what they deserve, and they deserve to have their throats cut. He didn't do any of that. He understood God's positioning, right? That's where we're going to pick up in 45 of Genesis. If you need a Bible, there's some up here in this little box. We can get them for you. We'll be in, again, Genesis 45. And then if you have electronic, we'll be in the New King James. If you do have an electronic, all we'd ask you to do is when you turn the pages, go whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Okay, something like that. Okay. 21 of 45. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all to them, to each man, a change of garment. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver, 5 changes of garments, and he sent to his father these things: 10 donkeys loaded with good things of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for the father for the journey. And the father means the lineage as well, not just dad alone. He doesn't eat that much. So he sent his brothers away and they departed, and he said to them, listen, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Dude, don't freak out, bro. God's got this. He's counseling them. After all of this other stuff, he's counseling them. So, you know, Here we are. We're in front of, we're in 46 of 1. Israel is Jacob. And he says, so Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba, offered sacrifices to God of his father Isaac. Oh, you know what? I think I missed a spot. 25. Then they went out of Egypt, 45, and they came to the land of Canaan to Jacob, their father, and they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and is the governor of the land of all of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. But they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Sorry to miss you on that. Dude, they told him. They told him information he couldn't believe. For 15 years, he thought that they were dead. You know, the older you get, this love for your things and people, things meaning people, the things together, the food together, the hanging out with one another, it hurts more. You know, I find myself a little more weepy than I used to. I still don't like pink, and I still ride a scooter, and I still ride a man van, not a minivan. But I got, that does make me weep, I have to tell you. But I'm a little more sentimental about things. Some of y'all that are a little older may know that. No, it's not less testosterone. I think it's God working through a man's heart. Because I know men that are older that are just as hard-hearted as a brick is solid. And his heart was changed. You'll see in the word, he didn't say a word to them about it. Loss. I have a daughter that's foreign to me. I haven't seen her for years. I'm going to tell you something. I would love to have a relationship with her again, but it's not happening. That's all right. He'll do it in his time. That time I'd like to see her and spend with her and just put my hands on her face. Stop that. That's weird, Dad. I'd love to have that right now. It's not going to happen for a while unless God sees fitting for that heart to be changed or mine or whatever it may be. But I got to tell you something. The advent of this time that he's had and now the prospect of seeing his son again, he's not even mad at the 10 that are there. Hence the echoes of Jacob or Joseph telling them to not freak out about it. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is alive. I will go and see him before I die. He's happy enough with that. It's almost like the story is non-existent. At least it wasn't recorded. 46. So Israel took his journey with all he had, and he came to Beersheba, and ordered and offered sacrifices to God of his father. Look, in the storyline that we've seen through Jesus, we go through the verses line by line, verse by verse. And a little over a year ago, maybe a little more than that, we started in Genesis. And we saw as we migrated up through Abraham didn't do a whole lot unless he checked with God ahead of time. You know, his son Isaac was of the same bend. But Jacob, he kind of did things on his own way. Kind of like when the original person makes money and they come into money fairly good. And then if they don't teach the other kids how to make money, they're already going to be kind of spoiled, right? So this person comes into money and then the other ones inherit that money. And they're kind of like, okay, with that, I got a little dad's business going on. But that third generation, worthless. No offense if you're third generation of that. But they haven't had to fight for it. They haven't had to claw and scratch and dig through. That's why you want to teach your kids the fundamentals. Don't just give and spoil them worthless, not just rotten to the level of worthless. Let them have some grit in it. Make them work in your businesses from the time up. Make them work in the field that you're in or whatever field they're in. Let them feel that pain and that struggle of going through it. Jacob didn't go to the Lord on many things. He took his own course and decided to do it the way he wanted to do it. It's so nice to see him finally at 130 years old start to seek the Lord on what he's doing. That's much like the Christian walk today, right? If we're not sold out for Jesus Christ, do you understand Satan's your father? How's that rocking your world? What do you mean? Well, if you don't go to him for counsel, the counsel is left but you and maybe your friends that don't know him. Unless they know him, they're giving you biblical counsel. And anything that's not of God is at enmity or at war with him. So it's a battle. It's a fight against him. And anything that's against him belongs in Satan's camp. Can you roll that John 8, whatever it is? We'll see it come up. Tell me when that turns orange. Oh, thank you. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. Slide. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do, meaning the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks, it's a lie. Do you want to know something? Do you want to know what Satan's language is? It's lying. He speaks fluent lying in any language. He speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe in me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. Dude, when you're not getting the counsel of the Lord, you're getting foolishness. Foolish means idiot or stupid. You're getting foolish counsel. If you're getting counsel from somebody and it's not a biblical counsel, you're getting more of the same. Look, when we were in the men's yesterday, third Saturday at 8, we get together for a little food. One of the things we were talking about was, why do we pray? We pray to align ourselves with God's heart. You know, we say we pray in his name. Well, what does that mean? It means the nature of who he is. You know, he's love. He's not fear. He's not lies. He's not anything else. He's love. He's not conditional, with exception of giving your life to the Lord. He's abundant in grace. He's abundant in mercy. And that's what we're to emulate. We're to be reflectors of that, much like the sun and the moon reflects that light. We're to do that with him as well. But are you making decisions without him? Are you making decisions? Are you going in a direction without even considering his voice? Then your father's Satan. Sorry. I have to face the same consequence. That's why many a time, anybody that's known me any length of time knows that I spend a fair amount of time in making decisions. If I have to decide today, my decision's always no. I need time to first counsel my Lord and Savior through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then to counsel with my bride, my Mary Lou. She's sweet. Go, oh. She is. Do it again. Oh. She's so sweet. Isn't she? Yeah, I know, right? I think I'll keep her. It's been 35. We'll do another. She kept me too, so that's kind of cool. Don't go, oh. Go, oh. Don't do that. I love it. Look, this isn't a beatdown. It's just a fact. You know what? We don't want to get counsel from the world. That's foolishness. We want the counsel of the Lord. And I love that he goes to him. But watch this. He had to have some concern, right? Because, see, he's under the same blessing still, even though he didn't go to the Lord. Abraham says, hey, I'm going to make a great nation as the dust is of the ground. You know what dust looks like? It has a lot of particles. You know, same with Isaac, you're like stars in the sky. Same with Abraham, you're getting the same thing. Jacob, same thing. In this prayer, then God spoke to Israel in the visions of night. That'd be like an awaking dream, which is oxymoronic. But it was so real. Have you ever had a dream when you woke up and you're like still in it? It's like that, only way better, because it's God doing his thing. Jacob. Why did he say twice? I don't know, maybe he had to shake him out of it. Here I am. Are we that attentive with God? When he calls, fill in your name here, twice or once. I don't need to be told twice. Dave, yeah. What do you got? Whatever you want. Here I am, God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt. Why? Because his dad and his G-dad went down there and they had troubles. Don't fear, dude. Just go on down. I will make a great nation of you there. And I will go down with you to Egypt. Do you hear the I will go down? Have you guys ever prayed this prayer? Oh, God, be with me today. Be with us today. Would you stop praying that? He already said he's going to be with you even to the end of the age. A modification of the prayer would be, God, you're with us today. Thank you that I don't have to sweat bullets on this thing. You're already here. I'm just going to chill with you on it. I will be with you. Do you understand when you drove in this morning that God was with you? Even when you were fighting with your wife? Would you just hurry up so we can get out here and learn about the love of Jesus? Right? Do you do that? It's okay to laugh. We do that. I'll talk to you later about this. Hi, guys. How you doing? Oh, brother. Right? We fight. We fuss. Just fight fair. Love it. Love deep. He's with you now. When you step through that exit sign, which means enter the mission field, any exit out of a church, you're being equipped for that. And if you're not being equipped, you need to be through your church. If you're not being equipped to go out and fulfill the Great Commission, then you need to be. But he's with you when you go out. And you don't have to be a perfect orator. You don't have to be anything other than you, because he doesn't need more of anyone around you. He just needs you in totality. No horsing around, no monkeying around. No, well, you know what, God? Can you imagine if the earth came to an end, which it will? That he comes to an end and God says, you know what? Hang on just a minute. No. No, we want to be with him constantly and chronically. Well, Dave, you say that, you're a pastor. Dude, I've been like that for years. Anybody known me years knows. Mistakes and all, imperfections and all. We don't strive for perfection, we just strive for excellence, right? Excellence in your walk. You've got a prayer list. You've got an Andrew list. How many people you know right now? Do you know one person that does not know Jesus Christ in your life? Nod your head if you do. And you're not sleeping, right? Nod your head. That person needs to be on your list. And you pray for that person till death do you part, them or you, until one of you stops fogging a mirror. This is real-time stuff. Here in a couple of weeks, maybe three, we're going to play a deal on hell, and it ain't going to be pretty. And it's none of these kids would be here. It's that kind of rough. Why? Because we got to understand what we're up against here. Because heaven is real, and so is hell. And hell sucks. And it ain't just like drinks without ice cubes. It's constant torment for eternity by yourself. Know God, know everything you love about love and love about life. I'm with you. I'll make a great nation. I'll go down with you, and I will surely bring you up again, and not up to Canaan. Joseph will put his hands on your eyes. You guys remember the old Westerns you see on TV, somebody die, and they always run their hand over them, and their eyes like close, because the actors go like that, right? But they put them down, and to keep the muscles from kind of opening their eyes, that's not true. But you got to put coins on them to hold them tight, right? Muscles contract. That means that your son, you're going to die in your son with your son. He didn't say when, but can you imagine the comfort that brought to Jacob? Because he's 130. Anybody here adult 130 years old? Going once, twice? Two of you together? Maybe three of you together? That's a lot of time, dude. I don't know what your breath smells like. Probably don't have any teeth. Your sags are beyond sags, right? Oh, man, I don't even know what your tent smells like. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba. You know Beersheba, or Beersheba, was where Abraham and Abimelech, the senior, made an agreement at this well. Beer meaning well, Sheba meaning agreement, or Sheba meaning agreement. And also at this same location, the sons of both, Isaac and Abimelech, the next made an agreement here, and then it's like, it must be like the popular prayer well or something, because that's where he's gone also to Beersheba. In 5, then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, the little ones, their wives, in carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took their livestock, their goods, and which they acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt, Jacob and his descendants with him, his sons and his son's son, so that's all his kids and his grandkids, his daughters and his son's daughters, and all the descendants he brought with him to Egypt. Now these were the names of the children of Israel. Jacob, his sons who went to Egypt. Reuben was Jacob's first. His sons of Reuben were Hanoch and Pau and Hezron and Carmi. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel and Jamin and Ohad and Jachin and Zohar and Shaul, the son of Canaanite women. The sons of Levi were Gershon and Kohath and Merari. The sons of Judah were Er and Onan and Shelah and Perez and Zerah. But Er and Onan, they died back up in Canaan. The sons of Perez were Herzan and Amul. The sons of Ishkar were Tola and Puvah and Job and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun were Sehed, Elon, and Jaleel. The sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob at Padam Aram, with his daughter Dinah, or Dinah, either way. All the persons, his sons and his daughters, were 33. The sons of Gad were Ziphion and Harai and Shuni and Esbon and Eri and Arodai and Areli. The sons of Asher were Jimnah and Ishua and Ishui, Beriah, and Sarah. The sisters and the sons of Beriah and Hebar were Machiel. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter, and she bore to Jacob 16 persons. Dude, my wife had 13. I can't even get her, of 13. Can't get 16. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, were Joseph and Benjamin. And to Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. The sons of Benjamin were Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ahi, Rosh, Mupim, and Hupim, and Ard. And these are the sons of Rachel who born to Jacob, 14 persons in all. The sons of Dan were Hushim. The sons of Naphtali, Jaziel, Guni, Gezer, and Shelim. These were the sons of Bilhah who Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter. And she bore these Jacob with 7 persons in all. All the persons who went to Jacob with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body, besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And if you include everybody in Egypt, they were 70. Guys, can you imagine going on trip with 66 people? Okay, how about 2 of you? We'll start there. Or maybe a family of 5. Everybody with their needs? Are you digging this so far? Come on, guys, get in the RV, get in the car, load up the tent, here we go. But now you have 66 people to decide with. Is this going good for you? And we're going to go see Jacob? I mean Joseph? Wasn't he the guy that liked the dream? Hey, look, he's the governor. We're getting fed. We're getting jobs. Chill. Right? There's only one person that is like super happy outside of Benjamin's and Rachel's tribe, brother. And that's Jacob, to see this Joseph. The rest of them are going. But let me tell you why they're happy. Because they're going to be eating. You guys struggle with eating? I don't. This shirt used to be gray. I stretched it white. We don't struggle with food here, do we? You know, Korea goes something stupid, pushes the button. Y'all going to be a hard way if you don't have something on the shelf. You don't have water supply set aside. You're going to be in a hard way if that happens. Good chance it could. The deal is this. We don't have to deal with famine. We don't have to move because food is not here. We have to move because jobs are not available to us, but we don't have to move due to food shortage. They're going to have food. They're going to have a good time there. In 28, then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out him the way to Goshen. Ladies, you that say men never ask for directions, you're lying, because it happened here. He just sent out for directions. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen, which means to labor, or a place of labor, to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Can you imagine what it would be like for me to see my daughter? I would weep. An idea. I would just be broken in such a good way. Do you have children you haven't seen for a while, or maybe a father or a mother you haven't seen, or somebody that's expired that you really loved, and you get to see them? Do you know the joy that would be, even for an hour, if I saw my little chubby short grandma, when I was a kid, I thought she was like as big as a box, you know, because I couldn't get my hands around. Of course, when I got older, she was just a little thing, you know, but when you're little, you think, grandma's so big. But if I could just spend like an hour with her, actually I'd go for 5. Why? Because it's very much as random as 1 hour. And just to spend some time and hear her, we would get her laughing so much she looked like loose jello in a cup. She'd jiggle so much. It was so much fun to see her. Sorry, way too much memory lane for y'all. Great for me though, I'm totally enjoying this inside. To spend that kind of time, oh, I'd be like, Grandma, thank you for those prayers. When I was a junkie and a drug addict and an idiot, you prayed me through that, and now I love Jesus Christ. Oh, I got goosebumps. Stop it. I got goosebumps going through that. You know why? Because I want to share that time. Mary Lou's mom, she's this big. So say this big. This big. She's this big. Well, 4'11", whatever that looks. 13 kids. All of them. And to let her know that we love Jesus, I don't know if she can see it. I hope she can. If not, dude, it's been so great. What does Jesus look like when we get to see her in heaven? This guy's getting to see his son, and he's broken. And he's crying. They're crying on their neck. Deep tears. Tears like a man sweating on a muggy day. And Israel said to Joseph, now let me die since I have seen your face because you're still alive. This has satisfied 15 years of separation. Some of you know the story of two sisters. They're in their 80s now. One's dying. The other one hears about it. They finally make a call. They have not spoken for 52 years. They spoke a year ago. And it wasn't, oh, they were strangers to one another, but now they're pen pals and calling, you know. One of them can't see well, so they don't use the email with one another. That was my mom and her sister. I got a whole half of my family that's missing. But you know what my mom said after I drove her to Kansas to go see her sister for really a first time in her life? She said, all those years of embattled times have washed away as if nothing, just with like this statement. Dude, some of you ain't even 50 yet. Ain't even 40, ain't even 30, let alone 52 years old. I was 6 years old at the time when they separated out. How old are you, boy? Yeah. Huh? How old? Seven? Okay, so I had a year into 52 at that. Stand up. Real tall. There you go. All right, now sit down. You see how that looks like? Thank you. You did a good job. Thanks for being seven. Appreciate your ministry. Do you understand what that's like? Do you understand how stupid it is to make decisions on your behalf to separate you out from somebody else? Forgiveness. It's happening before your eyes through this story. The brothers are forgiven. Joseph saying, dude, come on, dad, come home. I've seen you now. I can die. Even though he's not. He'll be like 142 or 7 or something like that. We're almost out of here, so hang tight. You're at a Calvary Chapel now. This ain't no 20-minute service, if you hadn't figured that out. You sorry. No, you're not. You are so not sorry. Neither am I. Okay, next or five. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I love kids. Then Joseph said to his brothers and his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and those of my father's house who are in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be that Pharaoh calls you. You say this, what's your occupation? You say that your servant's occupation has been with livestock from the youth, even until now, we and our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, which again means to labor. Beautiful lands, though. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. You know what abomination is, right? A detestable thing. Do you understand that when we're going to be celebrating Christmas, and when the first people that got to see him were the shepherds, right? You understand they were the social outcasts. They were the bottom of the rung. And Jesus came and let them see the child born first. Egyptians the same way. The Egyptians are the Africans. See, the Africans didn't like anything that was going on with the tribe of Israel. You guys are shepherds. You know, you're discounted. That would have been the general norm, right? Then Joseph went and told Pharaoh, my father and my brothers and their flocks and their herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan, and indeed they are the land of the Goshen. And he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, what's your occupation? And he said, your servants are shepherds, and both we and also our fathers, they said to Pharaoh, we have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe. That's pretty bad. In the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, your father and your brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt before you, and you have your father and brothers dwell in the best. Have your fathers and brothers dwell in the best of the land, and let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if any of you know any competent men among you, that they may be chief herdsmen over my livestock. See, Pharaoh, just in saying that is, you got the best land because you've been good to me. You got the best land because of the blessing of God. You got the best land, right? And even though that the entire population looks at them as an abomination, he sees them as valuable and says, take your men and you'll be herdsman's head over the rest. Amazing. Then Joseph brought his father and sat down before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And he said, my days and my years and my pilgrims are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of my years. Why few? Because his dad and granddad were in the 170 to 180 range, and he's just a buck 30. And the whole evil, yeah, we've all seen plenty of it, right? some as recently as within the last couple of weeks. They have not attained the days of the years of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from Pharaoh. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land and in the best of the land in the land of Ramesses. And Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his fathers, his brothers, and all his household with bread according to their number in their families. Provision 101. Pretty cool, huh? Is that a lot of words for you? Was me. But let me tell you what I know. I guess I'll look at my notes now. What does all mean? What does all mean? Is there anything left out of all? In all you do, seek the Lord. Whether you're going on to school, advanced school, whether you're going to school, are you guys in school? Are you in school right now? You like school? Is it pretty cool? Is school cool? Okay, so seek the Lord as you go to school. Pray over these guys. They need it. Seek the Lord in everything you do. He's a good father. You seek him out, he's not going to give you a stone if you ask for bread. That's dumb. Seek him out. You want to have some time with him. Spend time in the morning with him. Some of you pray on your knees. You know what say, oh, bless their heart, or I'm going to bless them. Do you know what it looks like to bless God? Say, we're going to bless God. No, you're not going to patronizingly pat him on the head. You're going to drop down to your knees and with everything you have, adore him. And then lay prostrate on the ground, praising him. That's what it means when it says, bless God. So you know I have a real set aside, sanctified, and holy time when I'm praying in the morning, right? You want to know what my prayer looks like? This. I'm laying in my bed, and I got an extra pillow so I don't roll off the side because we sleep in a queen bed, not a king. And even if we did, I'd probably still sleep on that edge, right? Because I like to live life on the... And I'm sitting there, and I'm sleeping like this. I'm not kneeling down. It's not a holy moment at all from your view. But for mine, I'm like, oh, yeah, Martha. Father, I lift up Martha and her sister Juanita and just ask, Lord, please. And Father, thank you. You gave me breath today. My body parts hurt, but man, there's trillions of them that are quite fine, thank you. Spend time with him in the morning. And when you go to bed at night, spend time with him. He died on a cross for you with excruciating pain for your sins. Excruciating is one word used for one location, and it's that cross. Ex meaning from, is crucifixion. Excruciating. When somebody says, oh, I hit my head, excruciating pain. Really, you were nailed to a cross today? Right through here? Right through your heels? I don't think so. Know him in this time of prayer. Spend time in the Word. If you have a Bible that is not accurate, get rid of it. We got 100 of them. We'll give you all 100 if you want to pass them out. I don't care. Freely we're given, freely we'll give. Learn that word. Have it scribe on your heart. You'll learn his nature. It's not a legalistic thing. I love this Joseph. Again, he's a great example of a godly man. A godly Christian for us. Be that person. Know that love for him. Live that love. Because that's your calling card, right? L-O-V-E. Amen? Can you go get whoever is doing this? I wonder how this water is. Is this hot? Is that hot? What's up, bro? Did you get some water on you? What'd you hear today? What'd you hear today? Sis, in the back, what'd you hear? Debbie, what'd you hear? Sin makes you stupid. What'd you hear, Carm? What'd you hear? Sin is serious? What'd you hear? Forgiveness. Forgiveness? What'd you hear, bro? Okay, come back. What'd you guys hear? Go ahead and blurt it out. This is open forum. What'd you hear? Seek God in all you do. Why wait? Love is everlasting. Ain't no game, right? You got a time to baptize. Why do we baptize? Because that was part of what he said. Go ahead and make disciples of baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you've given your life to the Lord and never been baptized, it's a good time for you to do it now. Well, I only came in my good clothes. Well, they'll try. It's Colorado. It's not Georgia. You'll be fine. Would you make sure all the kids come up in the other class too? Are they coming? Okay, cool. So, yeah, it's kind of big time, huh?
It is.
You want to do this?
I'm proud to.
All right, man. Let's get you. Would you help him get in? You go ahead and drop.
Can I go change into my shorts?
Oh, you don't have them on underneath?
I got them underneath.
Oh, okay. You can just drop them here and go. go back there, dude. And you wonder why he's, like, nervous and whatever. Quit looking over there. Look this way. You guys too. It's like he just got his shorts on, all right? How long do we hold them under?
Till they bubble.
When the bubbles are done, they're filled, right? What's going to happen here is he's going to get in the water, and Brent, you're going to be baptizing. And we're going to baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And he's going to receive the opportunity to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit with him. Sis, you got any prayers you're going to want to pray on your brother before we start? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are you there yet, bro? Come here, sis. Isn't he cute? You got nice legs. Drop your, you may want to drop your socks, bro. Why don't you lay hands on your brother? And you know what, guys, when you're sitting in the audience, just if you're a man or woman of faith, just raise your hand like this as if you're laying hands on this man. So where you come up here, Jeremiah. Okay, sis.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you first and foremost for this day. Because not too long ago, I was talking to him on the phone and he was contemplating suicide. In that moment, I told him that we needed to pray. The next day, he came to church and he gave his life over to the Lord. And now we're here, Father, and I just pray strength, and I just pray that the attacks are going to come and he recognizes those attacks and he just remembers who he is today, Father God, and that he'll just remember your word and continue to live the course, Father God, even when it's hard. And I just pray that he stays engaged in fellowship, and I just thank you. Amen.
You want to pray, amen.
Father God, we thank you for the boldness of Devin to step forward. Lord, we thank you for that story of a life wanting to be ended before its time, Lord. But there was a purpose, Father, for that reaching out of a sister, and now a sister in the faith, Lord. His family has grown tremendously with people who love and cherish this man. There is a smile on his face that was not there even just a couple months ago. Lord, we thank you that there is power in the name of Jesus, that when those attacks come, there is nothing to be afraid of or to shame, for there is nothing to fear and shame in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray from this day forward, he will recognize and understand that he is a child of the Most High and Mighty God. And Lord, what good parent is going to let their kid be beat upon or attacked? No, Lord. He will draw his strength from you, Lord. There will be times, Father, when maybe it seems heavy or that burden comes, but Lord, all he has to do is look to you and you will take that burden. Lord, it will take others in the now family, this body, to come alongside him to strengthen and encourage, and he will be a strength and encouragement to others who need it. Lord, that's what's so great of having the ability to just assemble here. We have something that the world does not have. We have an opportunity to have each other's back and to show love, Lord. Mm-hmm. That is what's lacking in this world.
Yes.
And we see it, Lord, every time we turn on the TV. We see the evil. We see the hatred. But Lord, in the midst of that, We see your work being done. We see people opening their homes, their arms, their hearts. Lord, we're seeing the poor be loved. Mm. Father,
yes.
We thank you for this time, and we praise you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you fill this man? Would you show this man the ways he is to go? Mm. Father, would he lead and have a heart to seek after you with every step, Lord? Your word being a lamp unto our feet, Lord, a lamp doesn't show us the whole way, but it shows us just enough to take another step, and that's we thank you, Lord.
That's it, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
You want me to talk?
Yeah, what do you think?
He always makes me talk.
I do.
Where's
your sister and brother? Come on.
Yeah, we are thrilled. we're proud of Alexa. She's strives to learn about Jesus, and we've been teaching her, but she's definitely has that drive now. She was one of the kids at VBS this year that decided to give her life to Jesus. and I know that she wants to do this, and I know Jesus lives in her heart because she is very kind-spirited. Sometimes I see Jesus in her. So we're very proud.
What's going on in your heart right now?
What's
going on? Just
I'm emotional because I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a girl. but I'm just excited. I'm proud, very proud.
Mm-hmm.
to say that this is my daughter.
Mm-hmm. So. Hand the mic to Luke, will you? Yeah. So, Dad, what are you thinking here?
I think it's good. I promised myself I wouldn't cry either because I'm not a girl, but I always cry, as my family knows.
But are you willing to learn?
No. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I'm just really proud of Lex. You know, I've seen her grow really over the last couple of years into a godly woman, and she's a good leader, and I think that her leading skills will hopefully tell lots of people about Jesus, and I'm just really proud of you, honey, for, you know, we make the decision that we raise our kids to believe in Jesus, but this is a big step when they actually take their, you know, when they understand why they're doing what they're doing and what the real call is for their lives. And I think, Alexa, you know, you never know what age is a good age to do it, right? But I think they kind of know when they're ready, and I think they know when they understand why we do what we do and why we've taught them what we've taught them. So I think Alexa's ready, and I think she'll be a great leader of Jesus. So
take them
proud up. Of her.
Lexi, come over here, baby. Grab the microphone, sugar. You're going to pray for your sister, okay? Okay. You can do it.
Jesus, thank you for Alexa, and I just want you to keep leading her through the way to you, Lord, and Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Everybody said? Yeah. Okay, Dad. You know what? We'll help her in. Sorry, Sugar Plum. It's caught on your cowboy boot there, or your cowgirl boot. Mom, I want you to stay over here if you can.
Yeah.
Okay. Baby, come over here next to Mom, okay? Get next to Daddy, okay? Is it warm? Is it bathtub warm? Okay. You can face this way, Sugar. Come on down right about here. Bring your bottom to right about here. Is that okay? Ask her what she's feeling. Just talk to Mama. That's okay. Is there anybody else? Going once? Don't be afraid. Twice? Going once? All right. Oh. We'll have one more song. Guys, over here is communion. And this is, guys, listen. Listen up. This is for folks that have given their life to Jesus Christ. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, not quite yet, okay? Not yet. If the kids have not given their lives over to the Lord, not quite yet. He did this with the disciples. He broke bread amongst the believers, right? And said, do this in remembrance of me. What is the remembrance? Did you see tears today, yes or no? Please respond.
Yes.
Yeah? Why? Why did you see tears? Go. Why did you see tears? It's hard to not to be in the presence of God and not be able to be changed, right? Why? What did you see, Mom, Grandma? Loud.
Oh,
What do you say, Grandma? You don't think he doesn't speak to kids? You guys see them tears? Well, Bubba, tell Grandma on her ear she can tell us. You, when you're ready, we'll come back to you, okay? Anybody else I saw? Did you have your hand raised? Real loud, buddy. I can't hear good. Hell's not for her, right? Heaven's for her. Streets of gold, baby. Light gold. What do you say?